Okay, we're started Perek Shvi that talks about the sickness of false humility and the cure for it. And we began with the concept from the Shulchan Aruch that says a person should never be embarrassed in front of those who scoff at him when he serves Hashem. Rabbi says it's a big stumbling block for people, because such people are not in their own control, but they're in the control of others. And such people have to suit other people instead of suiting themselves and conform to other people. And this is a terrible sickness, because it begins with a person living as a child and never growing up. And the person is more concerned of how he looks as opposed to what's the real truth. And a person doesn't work on uprooting this silly characteristic and the silly attitude, something that stays with him forever. And he concluded yesterday and said, only the years get older and not the person. And there are people, even big people, who are very old, but they're little children in their understanding and in their essence. So we begin on the top of page Samach Ches. And the Rebbe continues to work on this concept. No shuv no ato elen yunenu. So now let's get back to our concept, because that last paragraph he just went off track to say about, you know, any flaw you don't correct from your youth, you just grow up with it. Now he's getting back to the specific flaw we're dealing with. Layein, let's investigate. Eich machala zo shel busha meruma nishora be'ish mi'aldusa. How this sickness of false embarrassment and shame remains with a person from his youth, ubamem misrapi memeno, and how one can heal oneself from it. So now he begins to explain how this whole thing develops. Hayeled bereshis hispatchus daito, a child at the beginning of the development of his intellect. Kaven shein lo das latzmo, since he really doesn't have any of his own intellect, in terms of what? Lavdil bein tov ubein ra. He doesn't understand how to distinguish, to differentiate between good and evil. V'lo ruach bekirbo asher yid chafehu lemor. And he doesn't have an inner spirit to push him to say, kazos v'chazos asay, umezeh techtal, like this and like this you should do, and from this you should stay away. So since he doesn't have that, so what? How does he develop? Muchrichu liklot bekirbo deos minachutz. He is forced to collect inside of himself intellect that's external, that comes from the outside. He the only way he knows how to make any decisions in life and to know, have any sense of right and wrong, it's totally external. There's something that comes from inside that tells him what's good and bad. He doesn't know. Kemiatzal yedem halasos. He doesn't know by himself what to do. Besides the fact, the only way he can get any intellect is by measuring in terms of the intelligence of the older people than him, in terms of what's good and what's bad in their eyes. All right? So the first point he's saying is, how does a kid learn any values? Where does he have from within himself to establish that what he thinks is a good value or not a value? What base benchmark does he have to determine what a value is? He doesn't know anything. The only thing he values are what grown-ups teach him, what other people teach him. And, you know, on a very simple level, kid doesn't know if he should, you know, rip up, you know, tear up the couch or not. So his parents yell at him and say, don't tear up the couch. He understands you're not supposed to tear up the couch. How else does he learn that he's not supposed to tear up the couch? He doesn't know. So any of these types of things, they don't have any values. It comes from external stimuli, and specifically from older people. Now, because she yigdal, and when he grows up, im gam az lo yikne das la'asam v'lo ruach, and as he grows up, and if he still doesn't acquire any intelligence of himself, and no spirit for himself, oz das b'nei adam mekir bo lo somush, then this intelligence from other people, okay, never leaves him. V'rakia moshelesh ha-yechida botia. And that becomes the singular ruler over himself. Af lifnesh to seyam yichra, and even before their silliness, he will bow down. V'lifnei deoseyam yisbayish, and before their intellects, he will be ashamed. Shol yilagu a love, that they shouldn't make fun of him. V'chol masav, and therefore all his actions, they only will be directed to make himself look good in the eyes of people, to seek their approval. That's all he's ever going to be. In other words, that's the way he was when he was little. If the kid had no self-understanding of what to be, and he never grows up developing a feeling that I can, from within myself, develop understandings, and I can develop from within myself philosophies of life. So it's only, I've only been trained to measure myself based on what others say. So I will continue to do that way even as I grow up. I don't know of any other way to assimilate intellect than getting it from the outside. And therefore, and he's always worried that, and if I conform to the outside and people, and I get their approval, then everything's fine. Right? And that's how he grows up. He grows up one thing, and one thing is the only thing he thinks is important. Do people approve of my behavior? That's what develops. Right? So now, Ure'enu ha-pela hazeh. Now look what happens, this wondrous thing that develops over time. Wondrous in a negative way. She'eshnam anoshim she'bishtei hanegoyim ha-hafochiyos heim nilkim. Can have people that are smitten with both extremes at the same time. Two negative things at the same time that make the worst possible scenario. What's he going to say? He says, Gam b'shiflos v'cheshon das atzmis. On the one hand, he has this low self-esteem and a lack of internal intellect, self-intellect, because he doesn't really know anything by himself, on the one hand. But on the other hand, and this is why he talked about in the last chapter, when he talked about, v'gam b'gasus v'yeshus. But he also has ego, and he holds of himself in the sixth chapter, as we explained in the sixth chapter. He's going to say, how does that happen? What do you mean? Either he has his self-esteem or not. So he explains. Misgoyim heim neged raboseim. They're very arrogant against their rebbes, umalamdeim, and their teachers, hatom, they're good teachers. Vagavosami, and their gava, their arrogance expresses itself like this. Lomar to say, I have something to say. I have a clear understanding, clear intellect to know, which is what? That I have to nullify my entire being to the intellect of the destructive world. And I should follow after public opinion like sheep to the slaughter. Right? It's incredible. On the one hand, do you think for yourself? No. Why? I mean, he doesn't say that. Let's reverse that. Let's modify it. Does he think for himself? No, because he only does what society says he should do. He's afraid to be caught dead not doing what society says he should do. And now he's so stupid to be arrogant to have those attitudes. And when a Rebbe says, you know, this is not the right thing, he says, what are you talking about? I can think for myself. You know, you're not with it, man. You gotta get with it. You gotta get with the times, Rebbe. And he has the arrogance to say the Rebbe has something to teach me. So you have at the same time, the person with no real self, true self-esteem, but on the other hand, he acts with a wrong self-esteem, so nobody can tell him what to do. If society says you do this, the guy says, if society says jump, he says how far? Without questioning what they're doing, because he's chas v'shalom terrified if anybody would laugh at him. Anybody would say he's not cool, he's not with it, he's behind the times. Right? He'd be terribly embarrassed. So he's totally being controlled. He has mamish no sense of self at all, because he only does what others say to get approval by others, by society, right? On the other hand, if the Rebbe will say, do you know, do you have to list every Mishigas? I say, listen, let me do my own thing, man. I have to be my own man. I have to find myself. And this is myself. Right? It's a contradiction. You know, with teenagers, unbelievable. It's unbelievable, teenagers like this, right? Your kid will come home with his hair red. Red, right? Or every streak of color of a peacock they can imagine. Mamish, and they look ugly. You know, you could have pretty girls and handsome boys. The mamish look ugly. It's mamish disgusting. You want to say to them, you look like a jerk. You know, and one day I'm going to do it. I know I'm going to do it one day. I don't even know chas v'shalom. I'm debating. Because if they mamish hear the emes from somebody, you never know, it might shock them. 50 people would say that he looks like a jerk. He'd stop it. You know, I should get a young person to say he looks like a jerk. You know, but... So what are they doing? Why would anybody do such a thing? Why? Because everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. If everybody's doing it, if everybody looks like a retard, mamish looks like a ghost, like a crazy person, right? Mamish does crazy things themselves. And they call it whatever they call it, you know, to make it sound good. He has to do it because chas v'shalom, one of his peers would say, he looks, I don't know what the terms they use nowadays, looks square. In our days, it was square. Remember? If you weren't with it, you were square. That was like bad to be called square. I don't know why. Square is like, it's a perfect square. I don't know why. But anyway, you know, so chas v'shalom, I should be not cool. So really the kid has zero brains of his own. Mamish, he can't do anything on his own if he has to do something. Chazon, people shouldn't laugh at me. Then the parent says, you know, you look like an idiot. Dad, leave me alone. You know, I'm expressing myself. I'm expressing my individuality. This is who I am. So the parent said, what do you mean this is who you're at? And if your friends will change tomorrow what you should be tomorrow, you'll be something different. So what are you? See, the parent has to learn to disarm in a way to get the kid to think for himself and say, you know, you don't think for yourself. I would respect you if you really did something that was yourself. You want me to respect, this is what the teenager wants. A teenager wants you to respect them, right? What's the word? A teenager is someone who wants to be respected like the adult who they are not. Right? So you say, you want me to respect you like an adult? Why don't you start acting like one? And you can start acting like an adult by really doing something that you want to do as opposed to what everybody else tells you to do. We do that, I can start to respect you. But all I see is that you haven't grown up an inch because all you do is do what everybody else says. You know, oh, you only could do something if everybody else does it? Why does that mean it's good? And if tomorrow they say different, it's different, so why did you do it today? Right, so if your kid has half a brain, he might chop. If he doesn't have half a brain, then you gotta do other things. Right, but then he'll get on. But that's the unbelievable contradiction. It starts as teenagers and doesn't end when they grow up, unfortunately. They become adults, it's the same craziness. You can't talk to them. Right? Whatever the trend is now as adults, so that adults they learn to follow the same trends. Mamish the same trends. And whatever it is, they can't keep Shabbos. They say, well, I'd like to keep Shabbos, but I have to take my kid to play hockey 17 times a week. So since I have to do that, I said, so why do you have to do that? Because he wants to. Why does he want to do it? Because everybody does it. You know, so you don't think for yourself. Your mamish can't think for yourself. Right? But it's like, Rabbi, you don't understand. You know, and they start to be assertive that they know what they're doing, but they don't really know what they're doing. So it's a terrible thing. It's just growing and growing and growing. And you don't grow out of this. You understand. It's unbelievable. You hear people. I had some guests for Shabbos a few weeks ago. You don't know them. They come once a year, high holidays. Like the things that they say, you know, the kid was in one of the Jewish day schools, not one of the more religious day schools, and the teacher wasn't so good, so they pulled the kid out and put him in the French immersion. Put him in French immersion, right? So these people are basically the guy was working on Shabbos, but finally was able to work it that he doesn't have to work weekends, and they look like a very intelligent couple, you know, they are intelligent people, and they're pretty traditional. I mean, it's very suited to be in any one of those Jewish day schools that isn't of the more religious kind, like really suited to be in there, right? And the kid was in grade one, kindergarten? It was kindergarten. Had a bad year of kindergarten. Bad year of kindergarten. Didn't have such a good teacher. Didn't have senior kindergarten. Didn't have a good thing. And mamish didn't have a good year. And they want the kid to be in freshet because they're gonna mamish. It's unbelievable there. So, this is coming up in the middle of the lunch conversation. So I'm like, okay, how am I gonna, I can't let that go by, but I can't talk like I talk in the morning to them. So I said, well, that's probably a very difficult decision for you to have to make. You know, so you gotta empathize, right? It's probably very difficult. And I said, saying, well, you know, the truth of the matter is, every school, Jewish or post-school, always, it's like a bell-shaped curve. He says with me, well, every school has about 10% of the teachers are amazing, 10% of the teachers shouldn't be there, and 80% are mediocre. You know, are mediocre. And I said, so guess what? You got the poor fortune that you started with the bad one. You think the school you're going to send your kid to now isn't going to have bad teachers before you're finished? You know, so I start with that. Then I say, I don't know if you're aware of the statistic. And then I said, so what kind of Jewish education is your child going to get? Because they understood they have to have some kind of Jewish education. Like they understood that. I mean, if they came to me for Shabbos lunch, they can't be so far away, right? Yeah. They're with a lot of non-Jews, aren't they? I mean, especially French. Yeah, there's a lot of non-Jews. So I say, so how are you going to make sure they don't marry a non-Jew? He says, well, you know, I say, you know, the statistics tell us that kids who don't get a Jewish education are much, much higher risk to marry out. I go, really? And then the guy's an intelligent guy. He says, well, you know, and I said, and everybody knows, I mean, your oldest child is 5. I have a little bit more experience than you. That always works. I can't argue with that. I've counseled many congregants who are much older than you that have cried bitterly to me. And I said, you know, when your kid becomes a teenager, they don't listen to you at all. And they only listen to their peers. And their peers are going to want to go to do whatever they want. I say, you are statistically going to hope to be lucky if your kid, you know, says, well, I know this and that. Yeah, I say, there's always a few that don't marry out, but the majority do. I guess a smart person like you, wouldn't you play the odds? Because if he was saying that, you know, I want to have the best of the public school, but sort of like a private school, because only serious people go to Freshet, and you know, not the lower class. I said, yeah, but they're non-Jews there. Where do you think he's going to go to high school? Where do you think he's going to go to university? Oh, he says, no. When he's going to be high school, he's going to go to Chet. I said, oh, really? When all his 12-year-old friends are going to Westmount, he's going to go to Chet because you say so. You know, oh, I start getting them nervous. they're getting all nervous now. You know, and they're using. And I said, you know, so it's like these people weren't thinking.
Did they have
lunch? No, it was okay. And then I had a Frum family there too. They're just watching. They were just. They don't want to say a word. Meanwhile, my wife was working on the wife on one end of the table, and I'm working on the husband. You know. And we both said, the truth is, you had an unfortunate first year bad experience, but really a family like you, you know, should be sending to this school. Now, then they started saying, well, the less religious schools, it's really a joke sending to those schools. Like they're very smart and perceptive. It says, most of the parents aren't even keeping it. I said, that's exactly right. That's why you should send your kid to X school, which the parents aren't so right wing. But at least they care, like you care, right? So you'll have to stretch yourself a little. But I said, what's the worst thing that could happen if he went to such a school? The worst thing is that he'll get a college degree. He'll get a university degree by going to the religious day schools. And the worst thing is he may wear a kippah. That's the worst thing that could happen. You let him go to Freshet, the worst thing could happen is he marries out of the faith. Which worst possible scenario would you rather have? Okay? So they left, they were very shaken after that lunch. Anyway, but I'm just saying that that these are people that are very intelligent people, but they just didn't use their brains. Didn't you? There was more I could have said, but I knew if I went any further, I would go over the limb. I said, we should talk more about this. You have a long time to decide for next year what to do, but you really got to think it over. And I kept saying it's a very hard decision. It's a very, you know, but that's what you have people, these are like intelligent people, two intelligent people, just as dumb as a doorknob when it comes to their kids' Yiddishkeit. It's like, you know, they make themselves happy that, well, we're sending them to Sunday school. Oh, and what's his name? Loves Sunday school. I say, yeah, he's 5 years old. You wait till he gets into grade three, how he's not going to want to go to Sunday school anymore. Really? Yeah, you know, like, yeah. It's unbelievable. So it's like people who can't think, don't think. Intelligent people. And he developed his own philosophy. See how much he understands? That was his self. I knew what to do. I said, how did you know what to do? How did you know what to do? You're doing like everybody else does? You think that's it? You're a Jewish person. How can you send your kid to a non-Jewish school and expect the kid to stay Jewish? So anyway, so that's, you see this all the time, and grown-ups, they just mamish can't think. Anyway, let's go ahead. So, Sachaku no atem bachurim tovim aleim valpitul daitem anishvah. So what you should do is you should laugh, good boys, you should laugh at these people and on their twisted, destroyed, destructive intellect. Geus v'yeshus kazos. Arrogance and self-esteem like this. Lasos me'atzmos smartut lehispatel ishoches. They're so arrogant to let themselves be turned into a shmata, into a rag, to nullify themselves and to be destroyed. That's how smart they are. Right? Kachi lahem. This is the way it is for them. Geus, arrogance, im shiflus nishchasa. With destructive no self-esteem. Mitnei shigam hageus lo bekirbam nitzmacha. Because that arrogance, that ego, has not sprouted out from within, but rather it's a geus ha'arura v'hame'upasha kezo. But such a cursed and rotten ego like this, shiyasoda nitzutz avodazara, that its root really is the spark of idol worship, Rachman Litzvan. God should protect us. Upohalasa, and its activity, this kind of false ego, its activity is laharos labeid esam Hashem, to destroy and make lost the nation of Hashem. This nation, asher hishiru nevuzradan niron kesar vetitus, this Jewish people who have survived the wicked people of Nevuzradan, Nero, Titus, all these people try to destroy us. All those that have survived, it's this false ego, this destructive ego that will destroy us. So he says, such a destructive ego, Iyashir Shemikarev Nefesh Yisrael Tala. This doesn't come essentially out of the root of a Jewish soul. A Jewish soul doesn't produce this cuckoo ego. Machlas ha'olam hika'es, the sickness of this world which is now. The cave and shu, and since that's what it is, what comes out? Das atzmios ein lo. He has no self-intellect. He really has no independent intellect. Varak lifnei ha'olam hu korea, but rather he bows down before the world. Gamrakav hazeh, this rotten thing, mistabek bo, clings to him. Vegam hu moreid neged rabos of aviv. And at the same time, he'll rebel against his rebbes and his parents. See, he rebels against his parents because they're the minority. Right? They're the minority. So he has the arrogance and the ego to go against the minority. Right? Well, he can't stand up against the majority, which is twisting him into a pretzel. Whatever they do, he has to do. And now he says, now that's my opinion. Right? There's also one word for that. It's called a politician. It's mamish. It's mamish. The same word. What do you believe in? Whatever they tell me to believe in. Whatever the poll says I should believe, that's what I believe in. Right? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. You know, I finally read, my son had it for school. He had to read, for the finals, he has to read the Gomery Report. Right? So, okay, tell the truth. Anybody in this room read the Gomery Report? You don't even know what it is. This was the report that the Independent Commission Canada about the sponsorship scandal with the Liberal Party. Sponsorship scandal with the Liberal Party. That blew out in the summer, right? That's when they're trying to bring down the government, right? So they have to write a report. So the initial report was written last month, but the final report's still a couple months away. So the initial report, I mean, they write it. So my son had to read it. It's not big. It's on the website. It's for anybody in Canada to read. They gave the report. It's bold words, not too hard English, because they have to know who's reading it, right? And they couldn't, you know, like say it overtly, but if you mamish read the words, it says clear. It says clear. The top people in government took money from the Canadian government, gave it to their friends, that grossly overpaid them for services that were not done. Right? Give them like millions of dollars. As mama said, give them millions of dollars to what? To do nothing. It was supposedly to promote Ontario and Quebec. That's what it's supposedly for. There's no promotion of Ontario and Quebec, or little of it. It's like giving them millions. I mean, so millions and millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions. So where's all the campaigns and all the, you know, work? And what do they do? And they gave large chunks of it back as donations to the Liberal Party.
The Liberals are ahead of the polls.
Okay, and it's like, mamish, these are your list, are crooks, shiba crooks, shiba crooks. You read the polls, since they've called an election, the Liberals have gone up 10%. The Liberals are leading in the polls.
It just tells them, right? Steal more.
So you know what? It's like unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I think most of them don't read it. I don't think most of them read it. And again, it just shows you how stupid people are. But they're really not so stupid. You know why? Because they know they're all crooks. They know they're all crooks. They know they're all crooks. So the difference is, the only difference is, can one cover their tracks better than others? That makes them less revealed as a crook. That's all. And more than that, they like them to be crooks. Because if they're crooks, then you could be crooks. If the leaders are crooks, so what do I have to worry about? Right? So it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So it's people don't think. The mamish don't think. Nobody thinks for themselves anymore. They don't even bother to read anything. And you know, this guy looks nicer, makes me, I once read an editorial. So how do people decide who to vote? Which one makes me more comfortable with which crook? Which crook am I more comfortable with? Which crook do I feel that he's not overtly a crook? Which one looks less like a crook? You know, it's like they all agree they're crooks. Which one makes me feel better living with this crook? You know? So I guess, Paul Martin maybe looks like a little bit venerable. He looks venerable, I'll vote for him. But, you know, the fact that Imamish knew everything that's going on and the highest levels, it's unbelievable. People don't have any brains anymore. But you know, they allow same-sex marriage, so then that's why we want them in office, please. So this is the world we live in. Unbelievable. Yeah?
So, Rabbi, sometimes you see in a religious community, it's whatever the Rebbe says, the community does. I'm not talking necessarily Halacha, that's a different story, but like, you talk politics, was it 2 years ago, when Hillary Clinton was running for senator, they were courting these rabbis in Muncie and these areas because they said if they get the rabbi to support her, she gets, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 votes because the whole kahila will support her. So here you have the same thing in a broken environment where you just follow the group. You don't think for yourself. And I'm not talking about...
It's not you're following the group. You're not following the group. You're following the rabbi. That's the difference. The Rebbe, it's not you're following the group. The group follows the Rebbe.
So the group is thinking. Individuals in the group aren't.
The group understands. First of all, the group has learned what Torah is. See, you know what? That's a good question. You know, why don't you hold off till we finish the chapter? Because he hasn't told us what our self-intellect is supposed to come from. No. You understand why? All he said so far is you have not developed your own self-intellect. Right? So now you have to develop a self-intellect. We haven't defined that yet. We haven't said how you get to that. Once we define that, then we could answer your question based on what that definition is. Okay, but give me another example. We can hold. We'll have to hold it for another day before we answer it.
Yes, fine. Take the whole black hat phenomenon where people who are getting from, they're getting the black hats because they see everybody else having the black hat.
Okay, so people shouldn't wear a black hat just because they see everybody else wear a black hat. They have to ask, what's the halacha? What's the reason? If they're supposed to ask, why are you wearing black hats? Right? And then you get an answer. And then does that make sense or does that not make sense? Right? Right? Why are you wearing a black hat? First of all, answer, you're supposed to wear a hat when you daven. Mincha Mar, you're supposed to wear a hat. That's halacha. Okay, do we believe in halacha?
Yeah, but you see, the point is the hat is the same style kind of hat. It's a style. It's following the group.
So you want to wear a blue hat? Wear a blue hat. Okay? You can wear a blue hat. It's not a big deal. Again, the person asks, why do you do this? I'll tell you why this is the Ratzon of Hashem. Because when you daven, to show respect to Hashem, you have to have your head covered. Not just with a kippah, but with a hat. Right? That's respect for Hashem. We also are very conservatively dressed people because we don't like to draw attention to ourselves. So if everybody's wearing a black hat, no one draws attention to himself. No, you're going to have a striped hat with psychedelic colors. Everyone will notice me. We don't like to be noticed. It's not a big thing in Judaism to be noticed, to stand out. So we take a very conservative color called black, and therefore we're dressed appropriately for the prayer service, which is a halacha. We follow halacha, and we're dressed conservatively because that's the way a Jew lives. He doesn't want to stick out and be noticeable on external levels as opposed to internal levels. And you explain the concept. Okay, that makes sense. That's a big difference in just saying wear it because we wear it. No, I never tell people to wear it because we wear it. This halacha is why we have to. This is halacha. You're ready now to take this on. You could take this on. Right? And it's because you're not afraid of the majority of the people who think you're weird. And because you can think for yourself with the minority that goes against the majority, that's why you put on a black hat. It's no different than why you put a kippah on at work. But you wear a black hat for davening. It's the same idea. It's explained. Now I'm going to explain it to you. Do you understand it or not? If you don't understand it, don't put it on. Don't put it on. Don't put it on just because everybody else is putting it on. Put it on because that's the halacha and that's what's been explained to you. That's the difference. It's, now go be an independent thinker. Most of the world doesn't wear a hat. You go wear a hat and show that you're your own man. Because you decided that you want to follow Hashem's halachas. Right? Which is a minority opinion in this world. And you have to use your own brain to figure that out. Of course, there's a concept of chukim. We have to do certain mitzvahs we don't understand because our intelligence has come to the conclusion that we know that whatever God would want from us could only be the best thing. But that's after you've developed that understanding. Right? It's not, Judaism is not merely blind faith. It's you come to an understanding that this is the correct derech. I understand it as being the correct path. Not I'm just doing it because everybody's doing it. And that's when you have problems in Yiddishkeit. When everybody, and all the frum people just do it to be like everybody else, then the Yiddishkeit breaks down. When people are wearing black hats just to wear black hats, just to be like everybody else, then the Yiddishkeit breaks down. They have to understand why you're wearing that black hat, and why it's important for you to wear it. And then you wear it, then you're integrating that, your religion, as opposed to just mimicking it. So it's important people have to know why they're doing. Right? Same thing, why we're gonna, the Rebbe says to vote for this one, because that's in the Jewish best interest. This one will give subsidies to all the Jewish schools that are struggling that will close down if we don't get government assistance. Whatever. And the Rebbe, who has no bias, one thing they know, the Rebbe has no bias. So what you're really asking is, what's the difference if the majority of the world follows Christian Dayor, or most religious Jews in Skver will follow the Skver Rebbe? That's what you're really asking. How is it different than the Skver Hasidim in New Square? Well, whatever that Skver Rebbe tells us to do, that's how we're going to vote. As opposed to all the people in the world who says, if Christian Dior says, I wear clothes that look ridiculous. The difference is, because they know when the Skver Rebbe says something, he's saying it for one purpose alone, for the sake of bringing God's glory into this world. Whatever that comes out of the Skver Rebbe's mouth, he's a holy person. He has no bias. He has no axe to grind. He has no ego. He does one thing, the Ratzon Hashem. And when the Skver Rebbe opens his mouth, it's like Hashem is talking. And if the Sverev says vote for this politician because this one will give us more government funding and now the schools will be open and we'll be able to learn Torah, that's what Yiddishkeit's all about. And we all want to vote for what Hashem's Ratzon is. Right? And this is using your mind saying we do the Ratzon of Hashem. People are going after Christian Dior. Why does Christian Dior decide to change the dress? For the Ratzon Hashem? He does it to make money. Just to make money. Now, any of these people thinking about that? No, it's, I want to be like everybody else. I'll be like everybody else. And I want, here, Christian, I'm giving you a donation. Here, $500 for a ridiculous looking outfit, but I have to look cool. Right? And you know, and a Rebbe doesn't have to advertise his opinions. Christian Dior has to advertise to convince you to give up your brains. The Rebbe says, the Ratzon of Hashem is we should vote for this politician. And a Jew wants to do the Ratzon of Hashem. Even if you know it's the minority opinion. Right? So that's a quick answer. I mean, you'll get a much clearer answer as we continue to understand what your own intelligence is. Alright, so that's the problem. Okay, let's continue. Next paragraph on Samach Tes. Lachain, therefore, lo dailo la'adam, it's not enough for a person. Harotza lagarish is machlazo anishchasa bo admi al duso liknos das bovad. So now let's say a person wants to drive away this destructive sickness from his youth. So it's not enough for a person who wants to drive it out, liknos das bovad, to just acquire intelligence. Okay, so I'm going to get rid of this by becoming smart. No. Rak gam das atzmis yikne. But he must acquire self-driven intelligence. That's what he has to acquire, Vizekar, and that's the main thing. Not intellect, but self-intellect is what you have to acquire, as I'll explain. Kigam lamisbayesh mipnei amaligim alav velakoreel adayasam yesh das. Because even the guy who's embarrassed in front of those who would mock him, and the one who bows down to public opinion, he also has intelligence. He has intelligence. Ukvarnis God Luvayu Anashim, he's grown up and he becomes one of the guys. Avolgam Koldeosem, but all the intelligence he has, Lo Shal Atzman Varuchamim, it's not from his own self, it's not from his own spirit. Vrakmina Olambo, it only came from the world. You know, the other line people say, I want my kid to go to a public school so he can go to university, so he can be well versed in everything that's out there. So he can become intelligent. What do they say? So he can become intelligent. So what you're really saying is I want him to become a trash collector. So you want him to be a trash collector because every professor is just telling you trash. So the more trash you have, the more you'll know. Right, so that's the intelligence you have. Trashy intelligence. That's what you're getting. You're getting that. You want to be well-rounded to know every perverted lifestyle. And now that you know that, so what are you now besides a trash collector? And this is what a rounded education is. See, now you know what they're saying is we want to know what the public opinion is that we should bow down to. We want to have our intellect shaped by society, we'll shape around. That's what they're really saying. But they don't have the guts to say that. Right? Because after all, the only way we'll be validated is if everybody agrees with what we're doing. And since most people go to university, we have to do that. That's a very fair statement.
I disagree.
Okay, why?
I think if somebody's going to university to get a medical degree...
I didn't say that. You didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear what I said.
No.
You didn't hear the first thing I said. They didn't say they're going out to make a living. Their parents who are not saying, I'm sending university to make a living. I want them to be in the outside world to have a well-rounded understanding of people. I don't want him to be just with Jews. I want him to be with non-Jews. I want to hear all the philosophy out there so he knows everything that's out there. That's the value of being in university. They don't say the main value to make a parnasa.
That's not what I said.
You did. You said he wants to be...
said that most university teachers are trash collectors.
Most are.
I think that most university teachers are either teaching economics or accounting.
So
or
I will tell you. You go speak...
Are teaching
when was the last time you were in university?
20,
okay, so you know, tell Mayor Zalman, who's taking finals now, He says, I'm going to go to the dean after I'm finished with university and tell the teacher, what in the world is a teacher that's teaching business in the modern world? He says, wrote a book that no other professor even can understand it. Can't even go to another professor to get help because I don't understand what Mishigasta's professor wrote. Right? And it's not so. It's not so. The majority of them don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. There are some, yes, some. There are, to get that accounting degree, he said, and I'm sure anyone, the same thing, Alan, and everyone else will corroborate. In that first 4 years, you learn maybe a quarter is lemaisa for what you need to be. You start one whole year is drama, paint, art, and this and that, mamish mishigas. That's like one quarter, and that's for not an honors degree. Like one year is mamish mishigas. Another one is sophisticated mishigas. You know, write theories about what this person said about this and that, you know, and then, yeah, they a little bit of chemistry, yeah, maybe a shtickle chemistry, a couple courses on chemistry, a couple of them biology, a couple of those. But the majority of the courses aren't even Lamaisa. Yeah, they got to throw in a couple because you got to learn something. Some of that. But that whole, why don't you just have the kid learn 1 year of science and let him go right to med school? That's all he really needs. To be a doctor, give him 1 year full chemistry, biology, anatomy, straight, right? Just do that. That's what he needs to know. No, he has to be well, he has to know North America, Mishigas. Because then he fits into society, and he's a doctor, and he's a lawyer, and those things, right? And that's what's happening, and that's what parents are telling me. They're saying, you know, I don't want to just be in a Jewish school. He's going to be so sheltered. He's not going to know what's going on, this and that. So what better let him know everything that's going on, so he knows what the avodah zarah in the world is, so no one will make fun of you. That's what they're really saying. Of course, they all say he has to make a parnasa. But when you say, so send your kid to Jewish day school, you know, he'll do just as well in university. When I tell them, I say, you want your kid to university? The best prep is a Jewish day school, a double curriculum. University's a breeze after that. They answer, no, I want to be well-rounded. I want him to know all of society. That's what they say. Don't want just to know Jews. It's a virtue to know Goyim. It's a virtue to know everybody else. It's not a virtue just to be with Jews. That's what they're saying. So what are they saying? They're saying it's a virtue to know what the majority wants, so we can give up our minds to the majority. That's what they're really saying. Okay, anyway, we'll continue with what he's got to say in the middle.